It'll just go wherever it takes us.
Okay, well, I hope I can answer without
you can
stuttering or stammering.
Well, what you might do that, but that's okay too. All right, Guy H. Reed, June 20th, 2006. Okay, the first question that we ask is, World War II started in 1939, and then we got in 1941 with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Do you remember hearing about the war going on, hearing about Pearl Harbor, and what did you think, or what did your parents think?
Yes, we had a radio, and we'd sit there and three dials and listen to it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we was aware that they was having trouble with Germany, and more than Japan, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then that evening, Dad turned on the radio and said Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what Pearl Harbor even was, but mm-hmm. And that. So the next day, I was going to school at Beeler, and the professor there got us all in the room then, and Roosevelt gave that speech about Japan stabbed U.S. in the back or something like that, and the state of war was going on. Mm-hmm. And Professor Bollinger, he was a World War I veteran, and he'd been to France. In fact, he almost died three times over there. Got flu or whatever they used to get. Mm-hmm. And he said, so we had to talk about it. Well, it's pretty serious. And mm-hmm. My cousin and I went to school together.
Okay. So and how old were you? Were born, you just told me.
1924.
So you would have been about 16 years old.
Well, 16 or 17, what was I?
Mm-hmm. This was in, you would have, yeah, that's right, you were 17 years old.
I think I'd be 17 when mm-hmm. they declared mm-hmm. war.
Did you think at the time when that happened that you probably would have to go to war?
No, I never even thought too much about it, but we was all kind of upset and disgusted and mm-hmm. was more or less kind of halfway ready, mm-hmm. except nobody knew what war was about or what. See, it's altogether different. I mean, you really don't have an idea, and mm-hmm. I didn't have any idea. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So later on, Claude Stiewald, we talked about going to the Army, so we went to, we figured out, I had to go out of Finney and he had to go out of Ness, so we figured so we'd get in there at the same time. We were going to stay together. Mm-hmm. Also, we thought, well, he's a pretty good kid. And I thought, well, we stick together and we'll make it pretty good. Well, they induct you into the Army, then you go over there about the next day, and then they take some tests to get an Army Air Force. See, then the Air Force was on the Army. Mm-hmm. And so we went through that deal, but he didn't get through it.
Oh.
So that threw me into the Air Force and him in the Army, so we were separated, mm-hmm. just like that. Mm-hmm.
And where did you go to be inducted? To Kansas City?
No, to Leavenworth.
To Leavenworth. And so you enlisted or were you drafted?
Well, I was kind of drafted, see. Mm-hmm. But we went down and had it, so they drafted us at the same time.
Okay, all right.
They were ready to draft anybody to be ready, so we said, well, right. We're ready to be drafted, so they got us down at the same time. They mm-hmm. was. The two draft boards was doing what they could to mm-hmm. go along with our wishes. Well, of course, then we found out when you're Army, they don't care. You found out they're the doggone dictator, and mm-hmm. we didn't really understand that. My dad had been in the Army. He told me some of the stuff he had to do, but mm-hmm. I guess never soaked in, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. So once you were in the Army Air Force, then you went to basic training?
Yes.
And where was that?
That would be Shepherd Field, Texas.
Okay. And what did you do there?
Oh, just march and drill and learn how to kind of take orders.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it hard to take orders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard for me. Mm-hmm. Tell you to do something, do it now. And you finally figure out, you say, yes, sir, that's the best way to do it. You get along better.
Right.
Well, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't all that bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this was that the first time you had been away from home?
Well, more or less. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been on any extended trips anywhere. Mm-hmm. I might have took a trip to some town, but yeah. Maybe stayed overnight. But you just go stay with my grandparents, and well, I stayed 3 years with my grandparents when I went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd been kind of away from home, but not really away.
Right, yeah. First time out of the state of Kansas.
Yeah, the first time out where you was in new strange guys all the time. And
mm-hmm. What was that like to be in a large group of young men from all over the United States?
Well, it wasn't too bad, but it's kind of strange because, see, we thought, well, we'd get we kind of, Claude and me talked about being pilots. Well, of course, I couldn't pass any pilot's test then. So they said, well, you've been A&E mechanic. So they shipped me to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I was going to take an A&E mechanic. Oh, that'd be good. I'll be a mechanic. Well, I was up there about a week and they closed school.
Hmm.
So, well, we'll need it. So then, wasn't there very long. I was probably there 2 or 3 weeks. Then they shipped me to Fresno, California, put me in a truck company.
Oh, okay.
And that was kind of a letdown because, see, back then, the MP is the lowest and truck was the next lowest. Mm-hmm. You wasn't high up on your list, you know. So anyway, but it turned out to be real good. I was in the company for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. I mean, I say good because then we got to travel to Florida, to China, India, and all those places, drove through Burma.
Oh.
And we're together for 2 years, and then you get to be close to these guys. Mm-hmm. I get to be good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
There is an exception.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But it turned out to be pretty good. And the main thing, see, they wasn't shooting at us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said, see. A lot of guys, they was killing and doing everything else. And mm-hmm. like I've always told people, I'm glad that I never killed anybody. I'm really glad nobody killed me.
That's right. Probably twice as glad there. Yeah. Okay, so were you trained when you went into the company, the truck company? Was there special training for you?
Oh, yeah. They trained us all the time on driving.
Okay.
Truth of the matter is, when I first got in, I was probably the first 20 guys in there. Mm-hmm. But there's, you saw, see, whatever question was, every time I got a whole new bunch of guys.
Oh, okay.
So I got out there, and here's a whole brand new bunch of guys. I didn't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then that's where I made a lot of good friends there.
Mm-hmm.
But then they kept more guys coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, we didn't have any trucks. So they said, well, we're going to go get some trucks. They loaded up. Well, we was about 60 or quite a few. There were 100 men in the company. But anyway, they took us out to Fort Ord, which is another place mm-hmm. right on the coast. Got trucks, drove back to Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And the department said, okay, don't drive them trucks until you take training and learn how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then we took
training. But you drove them up there.
Yeah. Well, we took, then a lot of it was convoy driving.
Mm-hmm.
You drive out and have, well, everything was hand signals in, so the signal close up. So you're theoretically, you drive to a town, and you give, the first truck slows down, and then they just get bumper to bumper, you go through, and then they open up and speed up. Well, like, you always have problems, and they give the signals, it was too late,
mm-hmm.
and then the first truck get through the town, the rest of them trying to catch up. You just speed through town, but you wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we was trained to get that down. And another thing, they trained you to check your oil and all that stuff. So you might drive 5 miles and so check the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Just check it. Mm-hmm. Stop, check the oil. Well, of course, I had a lieutenant and then a guy, a couple of them driving up and down. It's our company. I mean, you had to about get up and lift the hood and just well go ahead and do it. You're pretty close to doing it, even though you knew it was full of oil.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they do that, just like the Army does that for training, to get you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the training. And I don't know, they just kept wanting you to mm-hmm. keep the trucks running.
So while you were undergoing this training, did you know that you would be going overseas?
No.
No.
Well, I'll say, we figure, you always figure, well, you probably will be,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So then we was there a while, they shipped to the lake in Florida.
Okay.
did some more training there.
Mm-hmm.
You did night driving. Turn all the lights out and drive at night.
How could you do that?
It's pretty good. You had like our army trucks had two little, they had a little tail light that had four dots. Red.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's too far back, you see one light.
Mm-hmm.
So you come up. Then if you've seen two, you're just right.
Mm-hmm.
If you come seeing four, you're too close. So back up a bit. See?
Okay.
That's the way they train to get. Of course, sometimes you could kind of see,
mm-hmm.
but you couldn't see very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was part of that training like that. They was trying to get you to do without lights, which we never really have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we thought we might be going to Europe, because we knew that somebody shooting us, you don't know lights on.
Right. Yeah.
But over there, then it didn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, I guess that was just training, but
mm-hmm.
they used to, the hard part, make it stand a truck inspection.
Okay.
Wash all them trucks up. Line them all up in a straight line out there.
Mm-hmm.
Take the front seat out, line on, and take the jacket line. So, anyway, and then stand at attention there. So, they come down, and they want to be a straight line. All the way down, everything straight, lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was hard to get everything lined up exactly the way. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why they did that. That was just training, I guess. The Army wants everything to look like, be alike, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Were they
inspecting for cleanliness? Is that what they were expecting?
Well, no, just if you was, you had to be dressed up, try to be looking mm-hmm. nice, and you had to have your trucks clean, and
mm-hmm.
everything looking alike. And,
okay.
And so that was part of that, I guess. I don't know. We thought they'd overdone it, but then, maybe there wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you, did you ship out from Florida?
No, then.
Then?
And I'll tell you another thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, we was out of Fresno, California. They shipped us to Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah.
The trip on trip trains.
Okay.
The different trains. I come right through Garden of Dodge, Seminole, and I went back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I didn't know when. I didn't know if it was or when.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I couldn't tell anybody because I didn't know it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we come down to these towns two times, went back to Camp Stoneman out there in California, and then got our shipment.
Okay.
Went overseas. Went
okay. Now, how many weeks were you in training before you went overseas?
Oh, golly, I don't know. Probably 3 months.
Okay.
I would say. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And were you trained in other things other than the truck? I mean, did you still march and carry a pack and all?
No, we did very little of it.
Okay.
We were lucky there.
Yeah.
We did all in basic.
Right.
Basically, you had to pack around everything, mm-hmm. and well, you had to keep your rifle and gas mask in your trucks. And you had to kind of be ready. But however,
mm-hmm.
luckily we didn't know it. But luckily we didn't need all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was always lucky.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that you would be carrying supplies or troops?
No,
you didn't know any of that.
I didn't know. It was unknown. Well, usually we hauled a few soldiers down in Lakeland. They'd take them out somewhere, and they'd load them up, take mm-hmm. them out during daytime, let them out, and I guess walk back, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, see, you had to haul, we was in a big service group, two truck companies, and so the service group had mechanics and all the stuff to take over an airfield is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to, anytime you need a truck, go there. So sometimes you had a job other than where they call a truck to do something,
mm-hmm.
they'd send you out to do it.
Okay.
You never knew exactly what it was going to be.
Right.
And so whatever, for example, at Fresno, I remember that, we thought it was a little bit dumb, but it probably wasn't, but they call a truck, drive over there, be a sergeant, get in, I'll go back over here, go there and get a little box. So I'll go back over here and deliver and take him back. Well, see, actually use a truck to deliver, but you might have one time I had a bottle of oxygen or a truck of oxygen bottles. Some might be pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You might be quite a few of them. And you might just drive a little box. But see, you never knew when you went out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you had to pick up trash.
Okay.
Like all the trash cans are all big. Mm-hmm. And do something with them. Well, you never really knew. One time we had to go get a load of beds and stuff. They were steel beds.
Mm-hmm.
And and then of course in China we carried bombs and gasoline.
Okay. All right, we'll get to that, but I'm going to ask you one question before we get you overseas. Were you homesick during that time?
Oh, not too bad.
Okay, all right. Okay, so then you were in Florida, you went back to California, and then you learned that you were going overseas.
Well, because on ship, then we...
And then you found out, then you knew.
Well, but didn't know where.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they didn't tell you.
No.
No.
Don't tell you nothing. Mm-hmm. They keep your mouth shut. Said loose lips sink ships, which I guess is true.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't even supposed to tell the color of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I watched the History Channel later and figured out part of the reason why. Mm-hmm. I didn't know then.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed kind of stupid, but then
because
they was trying to keep everybody safe. Mm-hmm. See, the ship I was on, we were far enough along. The ship I was on, Z.E. Anderson, had 5,000 soldiers and a couple thousand sailors.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd have sunk that ship, it would have been bad.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we had to go clear down around Australia because they couldn't go through. See, the Japanese boat, there's a submarine.
What was your impression of the ocean once you got out on it?
It was awful big.
Did you get seasick?
Well, one time, once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
I never, see, most of the ocean was level or smooth, and then but down south of Australia, well, we got all those big old waves.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know how they come up and down. And what is that up and down, kind of like riding a Ferris wheel or something. Just, after a while, after about a day of it, you get queasy or something. And some guys are a lot sicker, got real sick. Other guys, mm-hmm. it didn't really bother me very much. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
Did you run into any bad weather?
Well, it really wasn't bad weather, just kind of cloudy and just windy and big old waves. I don't know where that was, down South Australia, as they said.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it was pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
go
ahead. The ship, to keep, you know, a zigzag,
mm-hmm.
a zig or zag, they don't zigzag exactly straight. That's so they can't torpedo ahead of you, is the theory.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was in dog ABCD, which is down below the waterline.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever hit the torpedo, I'd been in bad shape down
there.
That's
right.
I couldn't have got out, but. But anyway, that morning, and see, even though he's on the ship, they made you do a little guard duty.
Okay,
which is kind of guard duty. I mean, it ain't no big deal. And you can't, there's nothing to guard, so just do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they put me on guard duty one morning, and I was up in the head. You know, the head is where it's, everybody's going to the bathroom, and they're sick, throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that about makes you sick right there. So, but that front of the ship goes way up and comes down. And that 4 hours I spent up there, I just sat down and just sick. I couldn't have did any good. But I remember that I got real sick there.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's about the time I ever got sick.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it was all these other guys sick.
Right. Yeah. Well, how did you pass the time on the ship then? Did you play cards or visit or
talk, fussed and arguing? A lot of guys played cards. I was never a card player.
Yeah, okay.
See, I didn't gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I was different from a lot of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had this good friend, Iron Man Ryan, Calvin Ryan from Pennsylvania. He gambled all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was his banker.
Well, that's a good thing to be. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't ever charge him, though, and that's why he always wanted me to. And he lost his money every doggone paycheck, lost it. And did that for 2 years, and I kept telling him, you're losing money. Oh no, I'm ahead. He always thought he was ahead, I always thought he lost it, so. But, we'd fuss around each other and argue.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, or you could sleep, or.
Was it a long voyage? Did it take a long time?
34 days.
Okay.
Quite a while.
Yeah, and where did you land then?
We landed in Bombay, India.
Okay.
So you had to go way down around so you can come back to Bombay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
then what?
Well, that's when we went and went and got trucks and started driving around here and doing things, hauling.
Okay, so did we had bases or we had men stationed in India, and then would you go over the Himalayan mountains, or where would you haul things to?
Well, we just went there one time, see. In other words, we stayed in India, and then they sent us to China.
Okay.
And we went up to northern India, drove, well, took about 10 days drive through from Lido, India to Kunming, China.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're driving over the big mountains.
Okay.
And but then they were, mostly everybody was driving one way. See, they never drove back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see,
Up there because it's too far and there wasn't nothing out there. See, India had gas stations
mm-hmm.
to get gas.
Okay.
See, China didn't hardly have any gas.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, we had about 60 trucks when we went there. 20 of them was loaded gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
55-gallon barrels of gas to get through there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you just drive the mountain, fill up at night with gas, and drive over the next day and fill up with gas. And,
mm-hmm.
and it took quite a bit of gas. Then all the other time they had to fly it in there.
Okay.
And the Chinese didn't hardly have anything. They was even using alcohol back then.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese were.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hardly have any trucks, but a few they had used alcohol. So we were stationed to the place there in China, and then this one place we had to haul, well, place airfield 3, A3 to airfield 13, surrounding 34 miles. So we'd load up a load of bombs or a load of gasoline and drive over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had two little range of mountains go over there and unload them over there and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Just kept that up there, back mm-hmm. there, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wondered why they just wouldn't fly them over there, but I guess
mm-hmm.
then maybe they was getting too close to Japanese or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you were in China, how would the bombs get to where you would pick them up?
They're flying from India.
Okay, to a base there.
Yeah, well, play the A3, well, maybe more than one, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A3, Quan Hon, where we stationed most, where I was at most of the time in China.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big repetment, they call it, which is full of bombs.
Mm-hmm.
They bring them in.
Okay.
Planes would land or bring them in. We'd go load them up,
mm-hmm.
take them over there and mm-hmm. dump them out.
Okay.
That's what we did.
Were you in danger?
No.
Because
well, a bomb could have blown up.
Right, but I mean from the Japanese.
No. Okay. We was lucky.
Mm-hmm.
See, even when we got to over there, Airfield 3, Hanchung, even then, there was no Japanese there, so the planes would load them up and go on somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know where they went to,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
we had taken them aviation gasoline,
mm-hmm.
and we had our own gasoline. That,
what did you think of India? Did when you were there, were you mainly just driving? Did you get to experience places in India? You know,
well, yeah, probably. I had quite a lot of experience in India.
Okay. It was an entirely different culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of people, poor.
Mm-hmm.
So poor that you couldn't believe it. In fact, I goofed up a time or two in India. You know what I did?
Mm-mm.
I bought a baby.
You did?
Being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The Indians are begging, but you know, you've probably seen.
Yeah.
Boxy sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
and here are these kids out there begging. This little girl had this little baby, and she'd come by. And we started to move on a train. I was out there messing around, and so I pulled a real dumb stunt then. I said, I had 3 ants, which is 6 cents. I said, I'll give you 3 ants for the baby. So, give me the baby. So she had me the baby, and then she started leaving. Hey, wait, here's your baby. And so, walked out there, and she started taking all the rest of the Indians, a whole bunch of them around her. They started saying something. Blah, 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 blah. She looked at them like, see, then she kind of scared. She started leaving. I said, hey, wait, here's your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so, It was scaring me because she's going to let me have the baby.
Yeah.
And the rest of them thought I really had bought it. And I suppose, I wondered what happened. At the time, it caught me off surprise. But I thought, well, they probably want the baby to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
It had a little bitty old tea towel thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it all come apart. It's a little girl, and I'm trying to cover it up and mm-hmm. get back out there. And she started taking off, and I finally got her stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying something to her, and she was kind of scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally put that baby in her eyes and said, take the baby. I said, go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was scaring me then because
right.
I thought, hey, I goofed up. I mean, I didn't try that no more. Because, see, those people are real serious.
Mm-hmm.
They're poor. They don't have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad. I taught me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I learned another lesson there when we was hauling stuff. It wasn't that bad of a trouble, but then we used to haul, part of the time, haul, go around all the barracks and load that stuff up. It had a big old ditch after you dump it in,
mm-hmm.
and all the Indians would get it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, dump trash cans out, all the letters, all the jars, or any kind of can or anything, they've gathered it all up,
mm-hmm.
took it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these little kids out there just running and jumping on that stuff, just little starving kids. And there's one little boy, he had just a string and a little bitty thing around him. That's all he had.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't do much, but poor little kid, he was out there. And so anyway, then this, well, another guy's with me. But anyway, I got a brilliant idea that time. It didn't work very good. I thought, well, I'll give him a ride in the truck. So I had him, so they didn't want to do it. So finally I got four or five and get in six, I don't know. They got up in there, and so I drove them around up in there and come back. Okay, get out. Some more trouble. After a while, I had a whole truck full of kids, and they wouldn't get out. They wanted to just keep driving all day. And there I was again. See, I wasn't supposed to have to mess them kids all day. I was supposed to. I mean, I might goof off a little bit. I just couldn't goof off all the time. And them kids wanted to keep riding with me. And I suppose they never had a road in a truck.
Probably not.
I figured because they support. They didn't have anything, and so I had to go part way back, and jow means get out of here or go or something in Hindu, Hindustani, and anyway, I told them to jow, and they was all, what's the matter with me? See, I wanted to ride, and I mean, I couldn't translate that I had to get back, see?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't try that no more.
Well, you learned two things.
I've learned stuff. But then people are poor,
mm-hmm.
and they probably do want a little help,
mm-hmm.
and you can't help them.
Right, and that was hard, wasn't it?
It's hard, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand, as poor as them people are, and you drive out, and here's these little old kind of lean-to and mm-hmm. full of Indians living in there
mm-hmm.
with nothing.
Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. hard to see that these little old kids that hardly no clothes on, or none of them got shoes,
mm-hmm.
and they just. Poor people, and
mm-hmm.
they're all begging.
Yeah.
Boxes, it means a gift, sir, or something like that. They're always wanting to give them something, but you can't give them anything, you ain't got it.
Yeah. That would be hard.
too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's thousands of them that way.
Yeah.
You can't believe how many are. And often wondered if they've changed much.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think they still got a lot of people over there.
Uh-huh. Well, they got a lot more now than you should.
Yeah, densely populated.
Supposed to have a billion. Mm-hmm. China's got 1.3 billion, see?
Mm-hmm. And I think the poverty rate is still pretty high.
It probably is.
Because mm-hmm. anyone I talk to, when they go over there, they say there are a lot of people begging.
Yeah there were thousands of people begging.
Mm-hmm. What else was your impression of India?
Well, in some ways it wasn't too bad. And I'll tell you some more impressions. I was stationed a place called Infall, and it was a detached service up there. I grew up and had to load and unload airplanes there.
Mm-hmm.
The center stuff, center, a couple of us would drive trucks. We got up there. We lived right in town.
Mm-hmm.
Had two big old houses. There's Army guys there, but they were new guys too. It wasn't in our company, but, well, one of them was maybe. But anyway, we, then these guys just run getting the truck.
Mm-hmm.
First guy drove it. It wasn't, see, we had trucks assigned to us.
Yeah.
You had to take care of them. You couldn't get in anybody else's truck,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Well, here, they had two trucks, and they was just driving them and go out to this airfield. The plane would come in, a C-47, have some supplies on it. We had two big warehouses, take them, set them out. And another plane come in, load up, and they was flying into Burma somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so we'd load up plane, load and unload. Whatever day, whatever when they come in. Well, anyway, they told us, they sent two trucks in from our company, from Samson Agra, said, you're going to drive, and nobody else. So they told us to bring the trucks back. It was about 600 miles up around there.
Mm-hmm.